crawling behind the gate. The gate swings into the stretch, and here they come. They're horsing around.
Welcome to Horsing Around. I'm Michelle Gatchel, and I'm here with my co-host, Kelly Bell, and we have a great show for you. We're talking about racing, and joining us to do so is the director of racing from the El Dorado Scioto Downs, Jason Roth. Hey, Jason.
Hi, how are you?
Good to see you, Jason.
Good to see you, Kelly.
Oh, so much exciting going on this season. I am so glad this pandemic is winding down and we can all get the families out and have a good time around the horses. What is going on?
Well, we kicked off the season last night. We had a great night last night, minus the rain. It rained pretty much all day yesterday. So, we've kicked it off and we're ready for a good season.
Nice. And by last night, we do mean
Tuesday, May 4th.
May 4th. A big thing coming up in July, 4th of July weekend, which, you know, with COVID going on, it seems to be the weekend everyone's kind of heading for to be more like normalcy than any other weekend we've had in a long time. And you guys have the next generation. And those races are July 4th and July 5th. But let's talk about, tell people what those races are.
So we introduced these two races, last year. We had it for the Tyrrell Colt Pacers, Tyrrell Philly Pacers. Went over really well. The concept has been around our industry for quite a while, where owners purchase spots to get into a race. It started in the Thoroughbreds with down in Gulfstream, and now there's a race called the Mohawk Million in Canada that they can purchase spots to. And we kind of do it on a smaller scale at Scioto, where we just have Ohio breds and owners can purchase a spot into this race for an Ohio bred. And it goes for $150,000, their very first lifetime start. So, you know, they essentially could pay for their horse the very first lifetime start. The winner will receive $75,000 right off the bat. And they actually have to put up $10,000 for an entry into the race on March 15th. So we've expanded the race this year to include trotters. So we got we'll have four races this year, two on May 2nd and two on July 2nd and two on July 3rd.
I find this so exciting. I've learned so much doing the show about breeding horses in Ohio and how amazing the breeding is, and the horses that we're getting in Ohio are just world-class great. And right here in Columbus, you can just go down to Scioto Downs, you know, and make a $2 bet and cheer these horses on, and you get to see them in their very beginning when they're just two-year-olds. And they're going to become superstars. They're going to race for years to come. What, 10, 13, 14 years a horse sometimes races?
Yeah, 14. You know, it's the breeding in Ohio is it's starting to gain traction. They are fine animals that, you know, are starting to show their class. It's taken a few years, but, you know, I have a race tomorrow night, which is Thursday, May 6th, called the Charlie Hill Memorial. And it goes for $135,000. And there's three Ohio breds in that race racing against the best horses in the country.
Yeah.
So, you know, the Ohio breds are starting to take off.
They really are. And they are so beautiful to watch when you go out to the track and the evening sunset is coming down and the fresh air and the horses going by and everybody cheering. I mean, it is so much fun. I can't believe you're lucky enough that you get to do that every day.
Every single day. Sometimes you don't want to stand outside in the rain, but on those beautiful, gorgeous days, it's a great atmosphere.
It really is. I remember going with my grandma when I was a little kid, you know, and we'd bet on the horses and eat hot dogs and sit at a picnic table. I have such good memories of Scioto Downs, and I'm really glad that it's coming back and becoming an exciting thing again, you know, that the fan base is building, that people are excited and they want to find out about it and go out there and spend an evening with their friends. I'm just so glad to see it taking off. It's just great.
And you know, here from a facility standpoint, we also see that. We see, you know, people are interested in, and we are, you know, starting to put money back into the racing side of the aspect. So hopefully in the next few years, we'll be top notch and have this place rolling.
So there's the next generation lottery. What happens? How do these horses, I mean, everybody pays their $10,000. What's the lottery for?
So, So we put an ad in the nomination book that the OHHA, Ohio Harness Horsemen Association, publishes. And it goes out to pretty much every owner and trainer, I would say in the industry, but not everyone, but definitely in Ohio. And it has every stake race in Ohio. So that ad goes out and, you know, we start taking nominations. They have to be postmarked by March 15th. In the next generation, we have 9 spots that are up for grab in each division. So if we get over that, if we get, you know, 11 horses that are 11 owners that want to purchase spots, we do a lottery drawing, which would happen this coming Saturday. We don't have to do that this year. Every single division had 9 in it. So, nice. It's worked out pretty well.
Last year, I remember one of the trainers that I'm involved with up in Canada, Anthony McDonald, he runs the stable.ca. He had horses down here. I'm not sure if he was in the next generation, but he was racing at Scioto Downs. And I know you said this goes out to, you know, people in Ohio, but we have a lot of Canadians involved too. Right?
Yeah. So it also goes out to all the staking companies and, you know, like Anthony that runs the stable.ca, he uses a staking company up in Canada and he knows about the race and he purchased 3 spots for this year. So he's got one in the 2-year-old colt pace, and the 2-year-old filly trot, and the 2-year-old colt trot. So
he'll. Oh, that's great! I'm gonna have to come out.
Yep. So he put up $30,000, you know, to race in it, and good luck.
Well, and explain to people too. Because we just said it was Ohio horses, but you can have an Ohio horse. What does it mean to be an Ohio horse? In other words, he came in from Canada.
Yes.
How does he have an Ohio horse?
So Ohio horse, Ohio bred is basically we have stallions that are registered to Ohio, and people breed their mares to these stallions that are registered in Ohio. Every fall, we have a few sales, the Select Sale and the Buckeye Sale in Springfield, where trainers, owners from all over the country come in and purchase Ohio breds. And then, you know, we put on, in my opinion, one of the finest stake programs in the country. And then they're allowed to race in those races.
Mm-hmm. So any horses that we should be watching out for? I mean, this is kind of their big show off. You know, if you're coming out on, you know, July 2nd, 3rd, 4th, or 5th, you're going to see some young ones that are going to be hopefully the future.
That's the key to this race. Nobody knows what horses are going to be in it yet. So, you know, the owners purchase the spot. There's no horses that went with the spot. I won't know the horses that enter until the Tuesday before the race. So, you know, I'm sure the trainers have a feeling right now of who they want to put in the race. And, you know, some people might have bought the spot back in March and are saying right now, I don't have a horse good enough to race in the race. What am I going to do with this $10,000 spot? Well, they can find somebody if they want. They can trade that spot. They can give it away. They can sell it. They can do whatever they want. They own that spot. They can do what they want with it. The winner last year, Charlie May, did not have a spot going into the race. Don Tiger did not have a spot. He purchased his spot last second and ended up winning the race. So
now, for people who might only be casual harness racing fans, yep, they may say, I've heard that name, Charlie May. This horse I've heard of before. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the history of this horse and why his name rings a bell with so many people?
So Charlie May made his very first lifetime start in the next generation. He ended up winning it. Like I said, he did not have a spot going you know, 2 days prior, he didn't have a spot in it. Don Tiger found someone that was willing to sell their spot, and he bought it and ended up winning. Charlie May went on to, you know, basically win everything there was to win all year long. He won the final. It was a great story for, you know, his owner, Don Tiger. Been in the business a long time. And I think, you know, he's had some nice horses, but I think Charlie May, he'd probably rank him up there as one of the nicest. And, you know, he started out down at Miami Valley this year, his three-year-old campaign. He won his first start, and then he got in a speed duel with another horse, another nice three-year-old named Heart of Chewbacca. And they paced a third quarter in 25-2. And I may be just throwing out numbers, but I'm telling you, that is rolling. They're going really fast. And he made a speed break, and I don't know what happened after that. But, you know, I hope to see him back. And in all the publications this year, he's been ranked as one of the top 10 horses in the country. So there's bright things for Charlie May this year.
Yeah, Charlie May and Heart of Chewbacca were both nominated for Horse of the Year last year, right?
Yes. Charlie May won Horse of the Year.
Okay, so I know who I'm keeping my eye on for the races when I go. Charlie May. Hey, stay tuned. We'll be right back with some more horsing around with Jason Roth.
It's mud season. Are you looking for a fix in a muddy situation? Cashman's has you covered, offering innovative mud control solutions. We are also your number one source for the best deals on rubber mats for multi-use flooring, perfect for horse stalls, garages, and gyms. Cashman's Horse Equipment has been serving the equine community for over 40 years. Come and visit our location in Delaware, Ohio, and shop over 10 acres of equine farm and livestock supplies. Shop online anytime at cashmans.com.
Be sure to catch the new podcast, The Top of the Stretch, presented by the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association. The podcast keeps fans of racing in the Buckeye State up to date on various topics concerning the sport of harness racing. The news and views of top officials, owners, trainers, drivers, and breeders in Ohio. That's the all-new podcast, Top of the Stretch, on the Facebook page of the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association. Be there!
Looking for that special gift for the horse lover in your life? Bow River Jewelry provides custom-made designs using state-of-the-art equipment, hand finishing, and quality stones to ensure your jewelry reflects that love of horses. Bow River Jewelry creates 14-karat gold rings, bracelets, and watches that uniquely exemplify the mutual love between horses and humans. Contact them at bowriverjewelry.com to see the variety of horse-inspired jewelry available, or call 888-860-7483 with custom inquiries.
Welcome back to Horsing Around. I'm Michelle Gatchel, and I'm here with my partner, Kelly Bell, and we are here with the El Dorado Scioto Dans Director of Racing, Jason Roth, and we've been talking about the next generation races that are to come up the weekend of July 4th. And Jason, tell people why they're so important.
The great thing about the next generation is we may not have the best horse in the state in that race. If the best horse in the state doesn't have a spot in that race, you know, it's giving somebody else a chance to make some money at the beginning of the year, you know. It's a toss up, you know. As far as the bettors, most of those horses are coming in off of two or three qualifiers. We'll start having qualifiers probably around June 7th. So they'll get two or three solid qualifiers in. The trainers will make their decisions of which horses they want to put in there. And I think our guys that are going to gamble on that race, they'll bet accordingly.
If you're new to this, you know, come to the track an hour early, get your program, and take a little time to read through that cheat sheet on the front page to show you how to read some of those stats. And if you can pick out a few good stats, you know, you can place some very educated bets with very little knowledge.
Yeah, and you just have a lot of fun.
You know, I probably look at more horses that race at this track than anybody. I look at their lines every single day putting the races together. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you, I am the world's worst handicapper. I am the absolute worst. You know, you know, some of the new people that come out, they pick names, they pick out the best names in the program and do way better than I would knowing what I'm looking at, you know? So yeah, there is a lot of information that we throw at you in the program. You know, there's driver stats in there. Drivers, our top drivers is a good way to do it. Top trainers.
Well, I think that's one of the fun things about it is that if you're very experienced and you know how to read all those stats and you put all that stuff together like you were a stock market analyst, you're still going to have a percentage of win-loss that could be somewhat similar to somebody who's just betting a long shot for fun because they like the horse's name. At the end of the night, you know, you've got a pretty good chance of coming out ahead or not, no matter how much you know or don't know. I mean,
right.
You know, it's great to be knowledgeable and that adds to the fun, but I guess people shouldn't be intimidated by it, you know?
No, you know, I kind of look at it, you know, I think everybody does the NCAA brackets. You know, they're always rooting for a team that they don't even watch. They haven't watched a game for all year.
Right.
And horse racing is kind of the same thing. It gives you something to root for, something, you know, to watch and to cheer on. So
you're right. At the end of the day, it's all about just having a good time. You're sitting outside with your friends and your family. You're chit-chatting about who you think's going to win, you know, and, oh, I like this trainer. I like this driver. I like that horse's name. And you make a bet and you get to yell and scream and have some fun and cheer them on. And it's just a great way to spend some time. You know, it's nothing to have to get too serious about.
And then the pretty gray horse steps on the track and everybody bets him.
Yes, that's me.
That's Michelle. She loves the gray.
Oh, exactly. Man.
Oh, man.
Well, Jason, tell us what else is coming up this summer. Some good races for people to come check out down there.
Yeah, so we race Tuesday through Saturday pretty much all year long, 6:15 post time. July 4th will be an exception to that. We race at 2 p.m. on July 4th. It's a Sunday. And then at the end of the year, September 11th, we have a race called the Jim York Memorial. And, you know, in years past, that's been a great race. It's been voted, you know, the best race of the year. I think that was in 18. It was voted the best race of the year. We've had Wiggle It, Jiggle It in that race. Always Be Mickey. Pet Rock, who's a great sire in Ohio now. Pet Rock set a world record in that race of 147-2. And then the year Wiggle It, Jiggle It, and Always Be Mickey, two great horses that, you know, people followed in the sport. They went head to head, probably my favorite race of all time. They went 47 and broke Pet Rock's record. So
wow.
That race is on YouTube. If anybody gets a chance to look at it, it gives me chills every time I watch it. It's a great race to watch.
Well, Jason, thanks so much for joining us and filling us in on the start of the season and what we all have to look forward to.
Hey, thanks for having me.
We'll be right back with more Horsing Around with Roger Houston.
Looking for your next quality standard bred racehorse? Look no further than Sugar Valley Farm in Delaware, Ohio. Sugar Valley Farm offers stud services anywhere in the world, providing the best stallions available at any price point. With a stallion roster full of names like Well Said, Lather Up, Mr. Wiggles, and Down by the Seaside, winning must be in the water. For more info, call 1-740-363-5618. That's 1-740-363-5618 for Sugar Valley Farm.
With more than 300,000 horses in Ohio, the economic impact of the equine industry in the state is over $1.4 billion. Much of that value comes from standard-bred horse owners, breeders, trainers, and drivers who participate in the sport of harness racing. The mission of the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association is to preserve, protect, promote, and serve the entire standard-bred industry in Ohio and beyond. To learn more about the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association, go to OHHA.com.
Welcome back to Horsing Around. It is time for the Be There news update from OHHA's Roger Houston.
The first legs of the Ohio Sire Stakes for three-year-olds and Buckeye Stallion Series for three-year-olds was held this past week at Miami Valley as part of their closing action for the 2021 racing season. Racing will continue at MGM Northfield, and the season is underway at Eldorado Scioto Downs. Friday of last week saw the opening of the leg of the Buckeye Stallion Series at Miami Valley with three-year-old colt pacers and trotting races, each for a purse of $17,500. The pacing division, a total of seven divisions were contested, and they were led by King's Cruiser, by Yankee Cruiser, with Tyler Smith for Jeff Neisonger in 153-2. Mark Ader owns the gelding pacer. Other winners included Kayscon, a gelding by Pet Rock with Brett Miller for Virgil Morgan in 153-3. Sweet Racer, a Racing Hill gelding with Ronnie Wren for Calvin Holler in 156-3. Rockin' Airway, another Pet Rock with Brett Miller for Ryan Miller in 155-4. Sleeping Single by Racing Hill with Dan Noble for Chris Beaver. The gelding was timed in 154.3. Odds on Shaggy, another Racing Hill with Brett Miller for Virgil Morgan in 154.3. And the seventh division went to Cyclone Union Jack for Brett Miller for Michael Prickett. The gelding was a winner in 153.3. There were three divisions of trotters, and they were led by Don't Forget Little Man, by Don't You Forget It, with Dan Noble for Deborah Swartz in 158-1. The gelding is owned by Swartz. Other winners included I Like to Cupcakes by DeJarnbro, with trainer-driver Sandy Beatty in 159. And Credit Ace, a Uncle Peter gelding, with Chris Page for Ron Burke in 159-3. Saturday at Miami Valley, the three-year-old fillies took to the stage. The trotters were led by Jogging Sweets by Don't You Forget It with Kurt Sugg for Edward Miller in 156-4. The owners are Rebecca Sugg, Ashley Dunn, and Edward Miller. The other winners were Irish Princess by Triumphant Caviar for Aaron Merriman and Chris Beaver in 158. So and Sue by Wishing Stone with Chris Page for Ron Burke in 157-2. And Fanciful Invention by Triumphant Caviar with Merriman for Beaver in 157-3. The pacers were led by the two performances in 154-1, Pompatoose of Love and Diamond Official. Pompatoose of Love by Mr. Wiggles was driven by Kane Kaufman for trainer and owner Kim Daly. Diamond Official by Artificial with Hunter Myers for Trent Stoller. The filly is owned by Trent Stoller Stable and Benjamin Graber. The other winners were Finesse by Western Vintage with Chris Page for Kent Sherman in 154-3. And Palomine Hanover with Aaron Merriman for Terry Hall in 154-3. Aaron Merriman had five winners on the card and then drove 219 miles to MGM Northfield, where he also had five wins, giving him 10 for the day. Check out our podcast on the OHHA Facebook page and listen to Aaron Merriman talking about his busy day at the races. From Buckeye Stallion Series action to the $50,000 Ohio Sire Stake events for three-year-olds. On Sunday, last year's two-year-old champion Summer Touch picked up where she left off with a win in 153-1. The well-said filly was driven by Chris Page for Ron Burke. The owners are Burke Racing Stable, Knox Services, Slaughter Racing Stable, and Weaver Buscemi. The other division was won by Lady Arthur by Arthur Bluechip with Ronnie Wren for Dr. Ian Moore in 153-3. The lone division of the Philly Trotters was won by Celebrate With Me by Full Count with Ronnie Wren for Ron Burke in 154-2. With only one division, the purse was $60,000. The curtain came down on the season at Miami Valley with three-year-old colt pacers and trotters on Monday. The fastest trotter was Winning Ticket by Triumphant Caviar with the combination of Merriman and Beaver in 1:55.3. The gelding is owned by Beaver, Steven Slenderler, Tim Homan, and Jim Burnett. The other division went to Spider the Striker by Uncle Peter with Merriman and Beaver in 1:56.3. On the pacing side, it was Heart of Chewbacca by Bring On the Beach with Dan Noble for Ron Burke in 1:51.2. The colt is owned by Dennis Owens and Norman Ray Racing. The other $50,000 division went to Four Star Flesh with Ronnie Wren for Brian Brown. The gelding stopped the timer at 1:52. For the month of April, six drivers remain in the top 10 list in North America. The Ohioans are led by Aaron Merriman, leading the way with 220 wins, while Trace Tetrick is second with 185. Tony Hall, third at 176. In the fourth spot is Ronnie Wren at 171. Sixth place goes to Dan Noble at 156. And in the seventh spot, Brett Miller with 146 wins for the year. On the trainer's side, it's Ron Burke leading the nation with 244 wins. Fifth is Sam Solace with 61. Sixth place goes to Brian Loney at 58. And in the eighth spot, Brian George with 55. The concluded meeting at Miami Valley saw Dan Noble as the top driver with 160 wins. And trainer Ron Burke topped the list of trainers with 55 victories for the season.
Thanks, Roger, for that update. That concludes this episode. We'll see you next week for some more Horsin' Around.